Praise the Lord. Is everyone awake yet? I think we are. Okay, so this morning we're on message 4 on page 47, practicing the twos or threes, preaching the gospel in twos or threes. So everyone open up to page 47. So far, just to review on this line, The first message we talked about that the twos and threes is the key to our going on in the church life. Actually, you know, I'm going to read a sentence real quick for you from day one, from the first message. It says, the best way to have spiritual growth and receive spiritual benefit is to find a few brothers and sisters to be our spiritual companions so that we can open to one another, seek one another, help one another, and solve one another's problems in all spiritual things. So if I would have asked you, what's the best way to have spiritual growth and receive spiritual benefit? I would have got a lot of answers from you guys, right? Read your Bible, touch your spirit, have morning revival, right? Go to the meetings. Those are all really important things. But this says the best way to have spiritual growth and receive spiritual benefit is to find a few brothers or sisters. So that's pretty powerful. So the first message, we talked a lot about how important it is. We wanted to inspire you that you needed to have companions, right? And then the second message, it talked more about how to get a companion. And I hope you all are praying even this week and hopefully maybe even getting companions this week. But pray for this. And then also, what do you do when you come together? There's so many different kinds of twos and threes and vital groups. And that's, you got to keep that in mind as you're praying for this. And then even as you go back home and you, you know, you want to seek this out, don't be idealistic in what you think it's supposed to look like. Don't put it in a box because there are so many different kinds of companions. And you probably need a couple different groups of companions. You might have one brother that you just, if I'm really going through something, I can open to that brother. And then you have a group of brothers over here in a different setting that you pray with. And maybe you have another couple brothers that you get into the word with. You know, there's so many different kinds, and you can't be idealistic. Like, and that's actually another thing we talked about, is you can't try to pick your own companions according to your favorite kind of people. Because actually, that probably won't be a very good companion, because you probably will be too natural with each other, and so you have to let the Lord choose your companions. So you have to pray and you have to be open to whoever the Lord would place you with. Just like David and Jake, you know, it was mutual, right? I wouldn't choose you, and you wouldn't choose me, but they're getting built together. It's awesome, and what a testimony when two people that are totally different get built together. Even when we're going to talk about the gospel today, that's a powerful testimony when two people that are different or three people that are different preach the gospel and care for somebody, and they're going to say, whoa, how are those guys one? That's powerful. Okay, and then yesterday we talked about the binding and releasing prayers in the twos and threes. We can't give up on anybody. We have to pray for people and recover people, pray for each other and recover each other. Okay, now today we get to a scary topic. It's called preaching the gospel. When I say preaching the gospel, what jumps into your head? Ah, is that what Mary said? Ah. Yeah, a silent scream throughout the room. Or fear or weight or something happens, right? It's like, it's pretty weighty and it sounds kind of scary. And we probably haven't done it very much, or we don't think we've done it very much. But I think this message will really be a supply to you about the gospel, okay? Because I think hopefully we all know that we're supposed to preach the gospel. Do you know that? That you're supposed to preach the gospel? Actually, that's the first point. Let's read Roman numeral 1. Every member of the body has the function, duty, and responsibility to bring people to the Lord. So who's excluded in that sentence? if you're all members of the body, right, unbelievers. If you're all members of the body, then you all have the function, duty, and responsibility. So that both means you have to do it, and it also means you can do it. You have the function. You all have the capacity to do it. Okay, so don't be too scared. How about someone really quick look up 1 Corinthians 9, 16 through 17. Can someone look that up? Maybe a pair, a twos or threes could read that verse really quick. 1 Corinthians 9, 16 through 17. Who's got it? Anybody? Okay. Who has it? Nobody? Be bold. Okay, both, all you guys read it. It's okay, that's fine. Everybody. Go.
For if I preach the gospel, I have no boast, for necessity is laid upon me. For woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not my own will, I am entrusted with the stewardship.
Amen. Amen. So woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Okay, so there you have the burden. Now you're all scared again. Okay, but it's okay. Now let's go to Roman numeral 2 and read that one together. We must learn in twos or threes how to preach the gospel and to help people to be saved. Okay, and actually, to help people to be saved is just the first little part of the gospel. That's kind of what I wanted to kind of talk about a little bit this morning is the scope of the gospel is so broad. You know, I think when we think of preaching the gospel, most of us probably think about going out by yourself or with a partner and talking to a complete stranger and trying to get them saved dynamically on the spot. Right? Is that what you think? Probably. Now, that's a little part of the gospel. That's a little part of the gospel, okay? Actually, that's a hard part of the gospel, but we have to do that. We have to do that sometimes, okay? We have to do that. But actually, that's a small part of the gospel, and that's probably the hardest kind of gospel you could do. There's a lot easier gospels, and there's a lot more to the gospel than just getting people saved, okay? So you have to realize that a lot of you have already preached the gospel more than you thought, okay? And I want to encourage you with that. Okay, so anyways, let's turn the page to page 48 on the ministry excerpts. Okay, let's read the last two sentences of that first paragraph. It says, to release the souls. Okay, see that? To release the souls. Okay, ready? To release the souls is the ultimate goal of our service. This is not merely a preaching work. This is the vital and ultimate goal of our Christian living. Does that sound important? Does that last sentence sound important? When it says this is the vital and ultimate goal of our Christian living, that sounds important, right? Okay, so, and then we'll talk about this in a minute, but go down underneath the subtitle, Taking Preaching as Our Living. Second paragraph, let's read that whole paragraph together for fun. From now on, we all have to learn that to preach the gospel is our living. It is for this very purpose we are living here. We have to labor on people. As a student, you have to work on your classmate and your roommate. As a man working in a business, you have to work on your colleague. You have to work on your neighbors, your relatives, and the persons whom you know. This is our living. We must always live for this. Okay, so, and we're going to talk about that, but this is the goal and purpose of our Christian life, is to bear fruit. And not just bear fruit, bear remaining fruit. That's much more important than just bearing fruit. Remaining fruit is much harder than just bearing fruit, right? Okay, so we'll get to that in a minute. But as we're going through this line on the twos and threes, we have to realize that, you know, it's not just for you that you do the twos and threes. It's not just so you can go on better with the Lord, okay? It's not just so that you can get built up with your companions, and actually the goal of it is to bear fruit, okay? You have to remember that. So you have to have this process of getting built up with your twos and threes, but ultimately you have to realize that the goal is bearing remaining fruit. And you need to progress to that and have a goal to progress toward that, and you need to pray for that. And that actually, in the reading later on, it says, actually, by going out on the gospel and by caring for people in the whole scope of the gospel, actually, that builds you up a lot more. That's actually a really great way for you to go on with the Lord and get built up, is actually to do this, okay? But, so now you're really scared. Okay, that's okay. Now, but let's go to point A. Let's have the sisters read point A. Okay, so the first item of business when it comes to preaching the gospel and caring for people is we have to have an intimate concern for them. We have to love people. And so I know that sounds like another big weight, right? Because actually the first step to loving people is to realize that we don't love people, okay? You just have to be honest with yourself. If you're really honest, you don't love people, okay? Not very much, okay? When I was in college, I was like, I like people. I'm a people person. You know, I like to hang out with people. I thought I really liked people. And then at a certain point, I realized, you know why I like people? Because I want them to like me. It was a selfish liking of people, okay? Now, the Lord can use all these things, how he made us, once they pass through death and resurrection and stuff. But you have to realize that you don't love people. Let's all say that. Say, I don't love people. I don't love people. Okay. Seriously, you have to be honest. Don't be idealistic. The only way that you can truly learn to love people is to be filled up with the life of the one that truly loves people. That's the Lord Jesus. Right? He so loved the world. He so loved the world. And so, by realizing that we don't really love people, then we can pray desperately and say, Lord, put a love in me for people. Amen. Lord, fill me with your love for people. Amen. And then we'll have the real love. It won't be a natural love. It won't be a love with motive. Most of the time our love is with motive, or it's natural, and then it just builds up natural things. But what we're talking about is genuine love and concern for people. Okay? So we got to pray for that. And then, you know, in some of these verses, you know, Paul said, like in Romans 1:9, he says, unceasingly I make mention of you always in my prayers. You see his concern for the saints. It was unceasingly and always he's praying for all these ones that he would go around visiting, right? Okay, that was his heart. And of course you have Luke 15, you have all the parables of the, you know, the lost sheep and the lost coin and the prodigal son, and you have the Good Samaritan in Luke 10. This is showing God's heart for people. Okay, now, brothers, read point B. Okay, so this is really important right here, and I already mentioned it a little bit, but the gospel is not something that you clock into and you clock out of. You got to get that out of your brain, okay? It's not something that we just do. Just like morning revival, we don't just do morning revival. We get revived, okay? We don't just do the gospel. It has to become part of our living. Because in order to gain remaining fruit, it's not a quick thing. It's not just to get somebody saved. It's to bear remaining fruit, which takes a long time, and that's one of the points that Peter's going to talk about at the end. It takes so much endurance. Well, it's okay, I'll read it just for fun. It takes inexhaustible patience and unceasing intercession. Wow. You know, so when you're caring for people and you're preaching the gospel, you have to have inexhaustible patience and unceasing intercession. Guess what you need for that? The Lord's life again, right? Because you don't have that. Okay, but this has to become are living. We have to realize that if we're living Christ, then we just will be the gospel. When people are around us, they will just get Christ. And people will be attracted, and people will get saved, okay? And there's two pretty important components to this, and that's in John 15 that, you know, you have to be abiding in the vine. You have to be spending all this time with the Lord in the personally. And that's why we're mentioning so much about morning revival. We have to get revived. We have to tap in to the life source. And also, later in this Roman numeral, in John 15, what's the other component to it? Abiding in the vine and what? Who's got it? It's the body focus. That's a hint. Anybody? Be brave. Love one another. Who said that? Was that Charles? Who said that? Oh, yeah, we planted him in the audience. Okay. Okay, so love one another. Actually, John 15, there's something I like to call the love sandwich. Okay, John 15, 12 says love one another. And then John 15, what? John 15, 16 and 17. 16 says you have to go forth. I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That's the verse that talks about remaining fruit. And then what does the next verse say? Mary said it. Love one another. So you have love one another, remaining fruit, love one another. Why did the Lord say it twice? Because so we abide in the vine, and then we love one another in our twos and threes, and then guess what happens? We bear remaining fruit. Okay, so we'll try to talk about that a teeny bit at the end here. But okay, let's all read point C together. Preaching the gospel is truly a matter of faith. We must learn to walk and to work by faith, not by sight, appearance, feeling, or any kind of circumstances. Okay, so when we go out on the gospel or we're reaching out to people, reaching out to friends, classmates, whoever it is, it's a matter of faith. We shouldn't even think this person's not open. This isn't a good time. You know, we have to be open to the Lord to say something whenever the Lord is working in us. So we have a couple of sisters that are going to share on this point. Masako and Crystal from Vancouver area, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll get a mic up here. They're bringing a mic. Yeah. Amen.
So there was a first year, her name was Lucy, and she was introduced to some sisters through a dinner time with an older sister who had known her mom and had shepherded her in the past. So there we got to know her a bit, and we invited her to the college meeting after the dinner in our locality. And there she also met Masako, and with another sister, Masako and I, we started to pray. And we prayed every week, and it was concerning sometimes just to touch our spirit, but we also prayed specifically for Lucy, that she would receive the Lord and she would be saved. And not just prayer, but we also tried to meet up with her. So we had a few dinners together, and that was for us to cherish her. And we found out that she really enjoyed being with us. But on the other hand, it seemed like there was something preventing her from receiving the Lord.
Okay. So after multiple appointments with Lucy, it seemed like we were not going anywhere. It seemed like there was no progress. So in our weekly prayer time with her, with our companions, we became very desperate for her salvation and that the Lord would release another time with her. And praise the Lord, he released dinner time with her.
Amen.
But still, we did not know how to genuinely care for her, and we didn't know what to say during this time or how to care for her. Mm-hmm. So we really looked to the Lord that he would bless this time.
Amen.
So the dinner time went very well, and at the end, she was able to open up about her concerns about believing into the Lord. And that led to us talking about calling upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And so after dinner, we went into her car, and then we led her to call, touch her spirit by calling on the name of the Lord together.
Amen. Yeah.
But the problem was that it seemed like there was no response. Right? Even after calling on the name of the Lord, there was no response. So feeling like I was being led by the Spirit and with my companion standing with me, I declare that she is a sinner and that she has sinned. Because according to Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. Yeah. It says clearly in the Word. So we just declare by faith that she and we all are sinners.
That's
right. So what we did was that we led her to pray that, Lord, we are sinners.
Amen.
And that, Lord Jesus, you died for Lucy. That you died for her, and that now she took his blood.
Amen.
That she can have fellowship with him.
Amen.
And after praying with her, she was tearing up, and she was very thankful for us for introducing the Lord to her.
Amen.
And we knew at that point that she had received the Lord,
Amen.
And she was a child of God.
Amen.
Although she is not baptized, by faith, we believe that she will be baptized very soon.
Amen.
So wow. Y'all can pray for that.
Amen. Amen. Awesome. That's great. So I don't think by yourself, maybe some of you would, but by yourself, you would just tell someone, you're a sinner. You need to repent, right? But she said, but she had a companion there, right? And so they were emboldened, empowered, and they had the testimony so that they could say, you're a sinner. Yeah, that's good. Sometimes you have to tell people they're sinners. Because some people think they're pretty good people. I'm just a pretty good people. I don't need Jesus. Some of you probably think you're pretty good and you don't need Jesus very much. Right? But you have to help. Some people have to be helped to see that they're a sinner. That they need to receive the Lord. That's really great. But that was that empowering there. Because the gospel is in the twos and threes, right? And even those are some of the verses at the beginning that I didn't read. But, you know, he sent Luke 10:1, you know, says he sent them out two by two, right? So even the disciples who were with Jesus, he sent them out two by two. He didn't send them out by themselves, right? Okay, so let's go to point D. How about brothers, read D. Okay, so this is to going out to preach. We have to speak something of Christ, and it's a living. This is a living Christ. He's a living person. So we have to be one with the Lord when we go out, and we have to let the Lord speak through us. And every situation is different, so we have to be open to the Lord. But the main thing we want to give them is Christ. We don't want to. They don't really usually respond to just doctrine. If you just give them doctrine. Here's some doctrine and some more doctrine. I'm going to convince them with doctrine. Then you'll just tap into their mind. And then they might just debate your doctrine. Or just, I don't believe that. But you have to somehow minister Christ to them. That means you have to be in Christ to minister Christ. Okay, so that's super important. Okay, and then sisters, read E. So this is a pretty huge part of the outline right here in point E. And so we have to do everything in the body. Let's have Ruth and Phoebe come up real quick and share about their experience. Amen. Ruth and Phoebe and
Crystal.
Okay. Threes, twos and threes.
So I'm Phoebe, and I just finished my first year.
I'm Ruth, I just finished my fourth year.
I'm Crystal, I just finished my third year.
So last summer in August, we had an internship where in the morning we would pray and coordinate together and enjoy God. And in the afternoon, we would go out and preach the gospel on campuses. And then this would be with other Christian students from different localities. So in myself, I am very afraid of preaching the gospel. Even giving a tract is a big thing for me. But I was very encouraged to preach the gospel with the sisters since we were in twos and threes, so I wasn't alone.
Right.
So one day I was in a group with Crystal and Ruth, and before going out, we prayed that the Lord would cover us and that we would have at least one person to read the mystery of human life with. And praise the Lord, we had two people to read it with.
Amen.
At the end of our time, almost when we were done, we met these two girls over there, and I went over and I gave a tract to one of them, and her name was Anne. And she told us that she was a freshman and that she was already a Christian. And because we didn't have a lot of time, we weren't really able to preach the gospel to her. But we gave her an invite to go to our Ice Cream Connect, which was a freshman event that we had. So praise the Lord, she came.
Amen. Amen. Yes, she came. And also many, many new ones also showed up. And so when the fall term began, our serving ones on campus put the students in small groups for Bible study based on the students' availability. So I was put with Crystal and two other sisters in a full-time. And we contacted Anne to see if she can come to the small group and also contacted some other new ones. So once we have these new ones meeting with us, we realized that now that we need to coordinate and pray together. Mm-hmm. So we started a Skype call and to pray together the night before our small group times. We learned to pray and get into the same burden for these new ones. Mm-hmm. And we all find that the prayer times made the group time very mutual and enjoyable. Mm-hmm. And we realized that we do need one another to take care of these ones. Mm-hmm. One time we were going through the matter of reading the Bible, and we fellowshipped about sharing our experiences and enjoyment of reading the Word and pairing up to read the Gospel of John together.
Amen. So I was paired up with another sister and with Anne, and it was my first time reading the Bible with a new one so often because we read every other day, and we read for about 20 to 30 minutes at a time. And I really enjoyed that reading time because it was very mutual. After we finished reading, we would share about our enjoyment. And it was really encouraging to see Anne enjoying the Word and even seeing that her prayers were becoming richer every time.
Amen.
So I was very thankful that I also had another sister to coordinate with. Amen. Not just that it made it easier to remember to read, but even that we could coordinate together to nourish her and to share the burden.
Amen.
Amen.
At the same time, Anne has been coming to the small group, and we asked her how she initially came to know the Lord. She couldn't really remember, and she just says that she decided to become a Christian in high school. So we felt that we need to tell her from the Bible how she can receive the Lord in a definite way.
Amen.
So we had separate appointment with her, and she called on the Lord with us and got saved.
Amen.
And on the last day of the semester, she was baptized on campus.
Amen.
So she told us that it was the happiest day of her life.
Amen.
Through this experience, we felt that not only did the Lord do something wonderful in Anne, He also showed us, the coordinating students, that it was only possible through our willingness to be grouped
Amen.
Together.
Amen.
And to pray to be blended together
Amen.
For the same goal.
Amen.
And He really does bless us when we preach the gospel in
Amen.
Such a in one accord.
Amen.
Amen.
I was there for her baptism, and while I was there, I really realized that preaching the gospel was really a body matter. Since I gave the tract, and then the sisters shepherded it, and they fellowshiped together and read the Bible with her. And then we had other sisters help prepare for her baptism, mm-hmm. and other saints also shepherded her. So without the coordination of all the saints together, this one wouldn't have been saved.
Amen.
Wow, awesome. Amen. Praise the Lord for the body. Okay, so you see that example of all the members working together, praying together, coordinating how to care for this one for every step, you know, to get saved, to come to the event, to get saved, to read the Bible, to get baptized, all those things, that's all in the body. And so I think that's like the biggest point on this outline almost, is that everything, because this is the whole twos and threes line, the gospel is a body matter. So let's have everyone read point one under E. With this realization, We will work not just by ourselves, but we will ask some others to work together with us in a way of coordination. In this way, the gospel will be powerful and prevailing. And point two, if we preach Christ, yet do not have fellowship and do not love one another, our fruit will be very limited. Okay, so I don't know if you have that concept, but in the reading, it shares it even more emphatically that, you know, it's in the John 15. You know, if we're not loving one another, then what are we going to bring them into? If we're not built up in the body, then what are we going to bring these ones into? Our goal is to bear remaining fruit for the building up of the body of Christ. So if we're not built up, then how are we going to bring others into the building? We're going to bring them into individualism. We're going to bring them, or they probably won't last. They just won't last anyways, because we need to bring them into the built up body of Christ. So the whole way along, from the very beginning, it has to be a coordinated work where you're praying with your companions, you're praying with your small group, and then when you go out to reach people, you're praying. And when you're caring for people, you're praying, you're coordinating every step. And John 13, 34 through 35 says, you know, if you love one another, this is how men shall know that you are my disciples. How are they going to know that we are the Lord's disciples? It's because we love one another. That's the ultimate testimony. And so I got one last little sharing. Sorry, real quick. Is a Happy Pullman sisters. You guys come up, Devin, Hannah, and Karen, maybe. And just this is just the concept of basically we need to love people into the church life. That's what we need to do. We need to love one another, and then we need to love the new ones, and then we need to bring them into our same love, that same building up, and they even become our companions. That's the thing. Some of you are on campuses. I noticed in Canada or different places, you're on campuses, there's like one or two students there. That's going to be hard. You know, that's hard. You got to pray, of course, a lot. Pray a lot. But sometimes you'll save somebody or you'll gain somebody and they become your companion. You can do that. You can do that. Think about that. And that happened with these sisters, I mean, in a way. And so anyways, go ahead and share.
So last year, before this last school year, we saw there was a real need for sisters in our club. All of them were leaving and graduating, and there's just a lot of brothers in our club. And so before the school year got out, and all through the summer, we were just praying together to gain more sisters. Like, we just need more sisters. And so we worked really hard throughout the whole summer in the orientation sessions. And we got to know a whole bunch of the students as they were just passing by, but we're just like a blip on their schedule. But we got names and numbers and stuff. And so when we have an internship also the week before school starts, and we were contacting some of these ones we met, and we also were meeting new ones. We were going out onto the campus and having little events and inviting them all. And the ones that really seemed interested, we prayed for them during the internship, too. We would pray every day, oh, Lord, help this one, come into your body. And at the end of the internship, when it's, you have kind of a concrete group of people, we ended up having, six sisters. And so throughout the rest of the year, we would just shepherd them. We invited them to our house, to the sisters' house a lot. We drove them around to wherever they needed to go, and we really encouraged them to come to the meetings. And at the end of the school year, there was four remaining sisters. And so they really had a positive outlook on the club.
So along with those four sisters, you know, we had started off with six or seven, but, you know, four stayed. And the biggest event our club does is a spring break trip where we blend with other saints in other states and stuff. And so when we knew we had, like, these four solid freshmen, we prayed that they would come on this trip with us. And so they ended up coming with us, which was, you know, amen. But what was really cool to me is that, you know, standing up to share, you know, it's a scary thing. But these freshman girls, you know, they stood up and shared, and they prayed, like, with saints they had never met. And it was just so amazing to see.
For us, having all these sisters with us this year was just unbelievable, because it's really surreal to know that all of these prayers all through the summer that we had were realized, and the Lord granted us to have these four sisters. And going back to how we contacted them and how we shepherded them, one of the things that we have to realize is that when we shepherd new ones into the body, we must realize that they are not entering into an organization. They are entering into a living, breathing organism. And for them to come to our meeting time or to our home, it's not just so we can say or even brag on our campus or look at how many members our club has or look how great we are. But we really shepherd them and welcome them into something much more than a club, which is a family.
Yes, amen. Amen. Awesome. So by the end of the school year, you know, when we shared at our celebration dinner, a lot of these freshmen and the bros, there's some bros too that we pretty really solid ones this year, especially two brothers. But, you know, all their testimonies at the end of the year was like, I gained a family. I gained a family, and I can see this for my whole life. Like almost all of them shared that. And it was really powerful because they just got brought into these ones that are built up. And they loved them and cared for them and just reproduced. And that's got to be all of our goals. And Peter's going to talk about that. It has to be all of our goals to bear remaining fruit in college. And we can all do it.
How about us read Roman number 3 all together? Amen. Praise the Lord. So Jonah just shared with us on this message, the first part, on some of the principles of preaching the gospel in twos or threes. And here in Roman number 3, I'm going to proceed related to some practical way that we can start our twos and threes to preach the gospel. Okay, first of all, I just like to emphasize again, I hope that you're inspired this week to gain a companion, to have a companion, to have your twos or three. Okay, if you do not have, well, yet many of you already have, you think, some may not have, pray desperately that the Lord will give you a companion. You know, they're just, like Jonah said, don't choose it according to your preference. There's no such thing as perfect companion. There's no such person that you complain, they listen, you argue with them, they don't talk back. You do want to do something, they always follow you. There's no such one on the earth. Maybe you can find it on the moon, you know. So the Lord usually put companions. Your companion is someone the Lord sovereignly arranged that's right beside you. That's God-ordained companion. Amen. The one is right in your locality. The one is right on your campus. And the one may be just right now sitting next to you. And the Lord desires that you will build up with them as companion to pursue him together. Okay? So, but practically, you know, related to the preaching of the gospel, well, first, we need to realize this is something that we need to go. In John chapter 15, 16, the Lord said, you shall go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit shall remain. You know, the word here, go forth, in Greek, means to depart. Means to leave for another place. So this matter of bearing fruit here, specifically in John 15, is not referring to the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is Christ added into us. We have the fruit of the Spirit, such as love, meekness, long-suffering. The fruit referred here, it's something tangible, that is Christ's multiplication. This fruit is the believers that we need to preach to, that's produced by us. These are the fruit that will become the real, tangible multiplication of Christ in number. So our burden, you know, today is really that we will see that the Lord desires that we will go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit shall remain. Okay? So let's look at Roman point A. Let's have all the brothers read it together. We should pick up the burden and take action with your companion. Please highlight that. We need to, where's the burden? You said, I don't have the burden. The Lord said, pick up the burden. The burden is right there. You need to pick it up. Pick up and take action. Right? In Daniel chapter 11:32, the people who know their God will show strength and take action. Saints, if we really know our Lord, the result of that is that we will be those who show strength and be those who take action. So with our companion, it is critical that we realize that we need to pick up this burden and we need to take action. Then point B, sisters. Okay, please highlight through desperate prayer. You know, when we pray together, we don't want to pray some kind of routine prayer. There needs to be a desperation within us. Lord, I have been fruitless for this past 2 years. Lord, you desire that I will bear fruit, but I have been fruitless. Lord, save me from my barrenness. Lord, save me from my fruitlessness. Lord, save me from not contacting you. You know, usually I find, even in my experience, when I have this desperation, eventually the Lord leads me to repentance. Oh, I'm fruitless because I have not been touching the Lord. I have been living my church life in a routine way. I have not really absorbing the riches of God. So there's nothing to flow out when I see a new one. There's nothing flow out when I see my friend. You know, in the church life, sometimes you say something, people just amen. They support you, right? Whatever I say, praise the Lord, amen, hallelujah. But with the new one, they don't necessarily agree with you. You need to really touch the Lord. You really need the Lord speaking in your being. Right? So a lot of these times, Lord, we need to be desperate. You know, the apostles in Acts chapter 1, they continue steadfastly in one accord in prayer. They pray so many days, 120 days. Eventually, they're empowered to preach the word of this life. So this is one of the first things with our companion we should do. It's not, you know, just to do an activity, but to go before the Lord and give some desperate prayer. Lord, this year, I want to bear one remaining fruit. Amen. Okay? So the next point, you know, it leads to we should set a definite goal with a strong determination to gain at least one remaining fruit yearly. And I just like to give you my personal testimony. When I was in college, just like you, I was in this college training as an incoming freshman. And this is exactly the point the brothers shared with us. And I told the Lord, okay, probably I'm going to spend 5 years in college. So I want to bear 5 remaining fruit. Okay? 1 each year. I determined that. And I can testify to you, the Lord is faithful. He gave me 1 each year. Amen. In my last year, when the 5th one was saved and baptized, when he came up from that bathtub, I was in tears. Because that's number 5. And I'm graduating, I'm going to the full-time training. Amen. Saints, this is possible. You know, I can tell you all 5 stories. One of the brothers, you know, I remember as an incoming freshman, I was here in this training. One of the brothers shared with us that you need to speak Christ to others, okay? So if you don't speak in your first day of school, you will never speak for the rest of the term. So when should you speak? In your first class, in your first day of school, first class, the person sits beside you. Talk to him. Speak Christ to him. Because think about it, he said, out of thousands of school, thousands of students, thousands of classes, this one end up sitting right next to you. That has to be the Lord's sovereignty. So, that's what I did. My first day of class, first class, this person happened to be a friend of mine, actually, from high school, because we had the same class. So, you know, we walk into the same classroom, so we just ran into each other, and he sits beside me. And this whole time, the Lord is bothering me. Talk to him. I say, no way. Talk to him. No way. And this is, I remember that's a two-hour lecture. So the first, in the middle, the professor gave us a break. So the Lord said, talk to him. So I still say, no, no way. So the whole break, we talk different things except the Lord. And then by the very end of that class, the Lord keep bothering me. I said, fine, Lord, I'll talk to him. So after the class, right after the class, I turn around and say, hey, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm just an incoming freshman. I don't know much. You know, I say, you know, I have a lot of Christian friends here. Do you want to get to know them? You know, I just try to say, you know, really Christ is the meaning of our life. You know, it's a lot of things. These are vanity. But at the end, you know, at the end, I say, how about you come with me? You know, I have some friend. And I have some Christian friend out there that I'm going to meet. Actually, I have some brothers, and I'm meeting in the cafeteria. So he said, sure, well, I'm not interested in Christianity at this moment, but I don't have friends. You know, this is a new environment. So it's good to get to know some of your friends. Okay, well, but guess what? I got him connected to the brothers. He got saved and baptized in his third year. And he told me that, Peter, I'm so glad you introduced, you know, your Christian friend to me on first day. Because if I don't connect with them, I got to know other friends, I probably won't get saved. You know, the Lord is faithful.
Amen.
So when should you start talking to your friend? First day.
Amen.
First class. The person sits beside you. Talk to him. Share Christ to him.
Amen.
Share Christ to him. Okay. Another experience, another person. This is my senior year. This is the last person I got him saved and baptized with, together with my companion. So we brought him to one of the home to just introduce him about the Lord, to shepherding with his family. But after about 3 months, he, because of his personal circumstances, that he stopped coming. And then a month later, this family moved away to a nearby city. So this person basically stopped coming, and then he has no home that he attached that he can go. So me and my companion, you know, we are really desperate. We just tell the Lord, Lord, he was open this past 3 months, and he called on your name. Somehow, we don't know. We're not sure if he's really saved. But what about this one? So we pray together once a week. We pray for the next 6 months. I remember so clear. At the end, you know, I remember that's about April. I almost give up. Then all of a sudden, he called us. He said, Peter and Robin, that's me and my companion. He said, well, although I haven't been coming to your meeting, but in this past 6 months, I have been considering what you said to me. And I decided I want to be a Christian. I want to be baptized. And then I was like, what happened? And I realized it's the prayer.
Amen.
You know, where when we go out, we just sow the seed. And the Lord can work in them. We just need to pray consistently with our companion that the Lord can carry out his work. Okay, point D, let's read it together. Right. Well, sometimes when we consider who should we preach to, you know, I really enjoy here. Actually, We need to make a list. If we do not make a list, we don't know actually how many people that the Lord actually put around us. If you sit down, consider your friends, your relatives, you will be amazed how long this list can be. It's actually a lot of people the Lord put beside you that He would like you to pray for them and choose some of them to be the first one that you can contact. You know, if you have a definite goal, Lord, I want to gain one this year, and you have a list of 10, Lord, what about one of these ones? Who should I start first? You know, don't say, oh, I want to get many saved. It's impossible. One at a time, right? One a year. You know, it's amazing. Okay, now point E, let's read it together. We should come together. Okay, so how about now we have two brothers. Yeah, you could give us a little bit of your testimony concerning coming together weekly and fellowship concerning some of the friends. Okay, what about? Yeah, can you, because of the time, can you just do it real quick? Yeah. Sorry.
Okay, so I'm Joseph, and this is...
I'm Benjamin.
Yeah, and I'm second year. I just finished my second year of college. And so after the college training from last year, we received a burden to restore our college meetings. And so it's because before the college training, so about before a year ago, there wasn't much meeting going on with the college brothers. The brothers and the sisters actually met separately. And so our college meetings for the brothers eventually drifted off. And so we decided to fellowship with some of our serving ones regarding this, and their response was very simple. Amen. And go and do it. Amen. Take action, and we'll just support you.
Amen.
And so we formed a coordination group, and the college students who were burdened would be in this coordination group. And we would come together every Lord's Day afternoon, and we would have fellowship. But here, our primary goal in this coordination was not to plan out practical things. Rather, our goal was to first enjoy the Lord together, to really touch the Lord together, corporately, then everything else comes secondary. Everything else we can take care of afterwards. And so not only did we pray together concerning the meeting, we also prayed for the students. At the beginning of each term, we would make goals, just like how Peter shared. We need to have a definite goal, right? It's not something that is too general, like, oh, we want people saved. Of course you want people saved, but you need to set a definite goal.
Right.
And our goal was very simple. Let's just gain one remaining fruit for the first term. How about that? Lord, we want one remaining fruit. Please grant us this remaining fruit.
Right.
And so we also, and praise the Lord, at the end of the term, we did. At least at the, yes, we did have a remaining fruit. Praise the Lord. And so we also made a list of names and of the current college students. And those, it included those who were meeting with us and those who were not meeting with us, those who were irregularly meeting. And and we would pray for them, pray desperately. You know, every time a name was brought up, we would pray desperately for them. Like, we would stop everything. How about let's just pray for this one person. Pray for their situation right now. Lord, really touch them.
Amen.
Really meet them where they are at. And I just enjoy that. We really need to come together to pray.
Amen.
And to pray desperately, too. And also, making a list, it's not until you actually make a list that you find out, wow, the Lord has placed so many people around us.
Amen.
Not just those who are meeting with you. That's not everyone.
Amen.
You think that there are only 20 meeting with you? Actually, there's 40 around us that, you know, maybe the other 20 don't show up regularly. So we really need to make... Be practical, make a list,
Amen.
And really pray for these ones.
Amen.
So pretty much Joseph said everything. Just to give you an idea, there's about 15 of us who got together every week to do exactly what was mentioned in this point. We came together once a week to fellowship about, pray for, and study every case of those for whom we are burdened. And I can tell you, that is the most enjoyable time in a coordination group you will ever have.
Amen.
I think quite a few of us are here. Maybe if you just stand up real quick so you get an idea. The Richard sisters, you know who you are.
Okay. No? Do it later.
Okay. So yeah. So these are just a few, but then among those, it's okay, I can sit down. Among those, there's also some that weren't able to make it. But we would get together every week and just pray for those whom we are burdened for. And eventually, by the end of the year, the Lord is faithful. We have at least one brother baptized and saved, and another sister baptized and saved. Right? So saints, I encourage you to go before the Lord and to, you know, just be desperate to come together once a week. Amen. And to do exactly this: fellowship about, pray for, and study every case of whom those who, for whom you are burdened.
Amen. So in the greater Vancouver area, with all five churches and the student, we have a goal of 10 last September. So far, we got 6. Saying students, a month and a half to go. Within this coming, before September, 4 more. Okay? Really, we need to set a goal. We need to go on. Actually, if you look at it the other way, if we do not have the goal of 10, we probably won't get 6 by now. You know, we need to have a goal. So we pray in a desperate way that the Lord can bring us there, right? Okay, last point, let's read it together. F. We should... Amen. So Paul is the person who labor, who struggle according to his operation which operates in us. May we be those who always labor, expect a quick result. But I want to say, on the other hand, well, sometimes don't take this point as an excuse. If it has been 2 years, there's no result, that probably means there's a problem between you and the Lord. That probably means you need some kind of adjustment. Therefore, we need to always be balanced, realizing as we labor, we should not expect a quick result, but we need to take care of our contacting with the Lord. We need to take care of our fellowship with the Lord so that the Lord have a way among us.
Amen.